I don't know, that was a really cool blessing. I could just like not give a sermon. Okay, I'll leave. Okay. Earlier this year than some years, we launched the official holiday season this coming Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. And with this time of year comes the onslaught of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of holiday songs that flood the airwaves, fill up our Pandora channels and every aisle of every store, and for many of us spark memories of songs that we first sang in our childhood homes, in our schools, and in our churches. A few nights ago, in that thin sleep you have right before you wake up, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us never go to sleep anymore. The women in the room, you know what I'm talking about, like we never go to sleep anymore. But that really thin sleep, the words and music from what was originally called the New England Boys Thanksgiving Poem. A New England Boys Thanksgiving Poem came into my head, and then it looped and looped and looped and looped for the next 2 days. It was written by Lydia Marie Child, who we can actually rightfully claim as a Unitarian, a well-known author during the lead-up to the Civil War, an inspiration to women suffragists and abolitionists, and a before-her-time advocate for the rights of Native Americans, which we need to remember on Thanksgiving. The more familiar title is Over the River and Through the
Wood.
Which even as a child seemed incredibly out of context for me, who grew up far, far, far from the white and drifted snow, who had never been carried on a horse-driven sleigh, never have since, whose grandmothers were long dead and when alive had not, in any case, lived on farms with barns, more like city tenements in Eastern European ghettos, truth be told. My children, on the other hand, have the experience of going to their maternal grandmother's house for Thanksgiving and other secularized holidays. Oh, she was the matriarch who got up early to put the 20-plus pound turkey in the oven, and you had to hear how many pounds it was every year, baked that last-minute pie, poured the jelly and the whole cranberry sauce into bowls, and then handled the other classic women's magazine fixings from the recipes from Ladies' Home Journal and Good Housekeeping and Family Circle on Women's Day. And then was totally exhausted by noon and couldn't eat a thing. right? She remained the matriarch, the ruler of our holidays until late in her life, which was a long one. So it was over the Bay Bridge and down the Bayshore Freeway for us. And the only contribution I was ever asked, or actually indeed restricted to bringing, was the bread. Store-bought, preservative-laden, soft-white dinner rolls, to be precise, year after year. Okay? This is my bread story and my very apologetic contribution to our upcoming bread show. Laden with stuff. My own children, my own family, is far-flung these days from Singapore and now in the New Year, Sydney, to the now smoke-filled San Francisco suburbs that I just talked about, where indeed my daughter and her family had to leave their home in Danville, California, and go 200 miles down the Central Coast in order that her children could breathe, and then a child in Brooklyn, and other places to be on Thanksgiving. So my husband and I are truly now free agents, holding our Thanksgiving meal in two stages, and I'm about to describe. The first, the night before, is more practical than celebratory. We enjoy the seasonally incredibly inexpensive 59 cents frozen turkey, especially me, the fatty pope's nose, the crispy wings, and the carcass for soup making, and my own from scratch cranberry sauce, and the retro green bean casserole with canned mushroom soup and liberal amounts of fried onions that my husband covets, and I give to him one time a year to guarantee our leftovers. For the real Thanksgiving Day feast, we count now on the kindness and the hospitality of others, sometimes in church social halls, sometimes with friends and relations. including one nearly 90 degrees in late November midday meal in Phoenix, Arizona, at the home of Richard's first cousin, where eating all that New England-based heavy food seemed daunting in the light of that heat index. One year we were graciously invited, along with other area clergy and their kin at loose ends, to the home of one of my colleagues. It was there, in the pressure cooker presence of two other Unitarian Universalist ministers, that I was invited, I didn't see it that way, I didn't feel like it was invited, I was told to say a few words over our contemporary American Thanksgiving meal, that Kroger bird that had been cooked in an outdoor dome grill when the stove oven died a few hours into the roasting period. It was a very, very long awaited meal. When I heard our host, my former internship supervisor, ask me to say a few words, I immediately heard, "Give the blessing. Give the blessing." And in that awkward moment between that impromptu and not so impromptu request and the clumsily improvised words I managed somehow to come up with, having never actually witnessed a blessing over food in my own mid-century Unitarian humanist childhood, something about all of us coming from different families of origin, from different traditions, to be together in the name of all that is holy, according to, of course, our individual understandings of that word. But before this, I had flashed on the original words of our traditional Thanksgiving hymn, which in quite another spirit and with sharply divergent lyrics we just sang this morning. So I'm going to read the original ones. How many of you remember the original ones? We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He hastens and chastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Oh, for God's sake. He hastens and chastens his will to make known. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Not exactly the kind of blessings I would choose to ask for. Blessings from an exclusive male ruler of the universe who castigates and punishes, whom he prays in order to win wars. And I know this is really sensitive for you. Football games and souls. Whom former Dominican scholar and visionary theologian Matthew Fox calls the fall and redemption God. The fall and redemption God, who we ask to bless us, slay our enemies, and save us from our original human taint, which is original sin. Mixed blessings, indeed. Which is so far from any image of divine in either side of our Unitarian and Universalist liberal Christian sources of our living faith. Like many of our hymns, we have kept the music, which is familiar and even beloved to those of you who came originally from Protestant denominations. But we have altered the words to better fit with our more universalist, more life-affirming frameworks. That instead of focusing on warring within and without, ever mindful of strife and suffering, still we choose to focus on the original blessings of creation and the inherent potential in this world. I want to say that again. We choose to focus on the original blessings of creation and the inherent potential in this world. We sing these words. We gather together in joyful thanksgiving, acclaiming creation whose bounty we share. Both sorrow and gladness we find now in our living. We sing a hymn of praise to the life that we bear. Now that's a blessing I could gladly deliver. This morning, as we approach the American celebration of Thanksgiving, we will break bread together to celebrate the abundance of the harvest, the hard work of all who make our lives possible, and the community gathered here together. These Loaves, these fragrant loaves made from wheat and oats and rice flour, cornbread, muffins, Swedish coffee cakes, the many families and places and heritage they represent were baked with love, love that multiplies all that is around us. So, first the story, and then the sharing. And first, a picture called Norman Rockwell Revisited. We're going to throw that up, and I hope you enjoy it. Don't sit out and down Norman Rockwell Revisited. And may we hold that in our hearts as we have our individual Thanksgivings this evening. So now I invite you, those of you who have prepared bread, to come and share your stories.